discussion that we're going to have, the pieces that were put together from different people and different discussions I had, but the overall picture is, I take responsibility for anything I say, but the thing is that the overall picture is mine, okay? So we're going to discuss the development of a human being insofar as justice is concerned. Okay? The first motive... Now, the thing is, I'm not talking about acts of justice. I'm talking about the motives. What changes is the motive for doing justice. But just you might, as you go along, understand justice better and do it better. But we're discussing the different levels of motive that a person could have for doing justice. Okay? So the first one is the ego. There's a certain feeling that I feel like a good person. Certain people do it because they feel better. If I do for you, then I'm better than you, so it makes me feel better. I have a certain image of myself as a nice person. So there's different ego satisfactions that I have from doing justice. Now, even though most people don't think about it, there are two benefits. There are two benefits for doing justice on this level. One benefit is,
when you do it on the ego level, there's a certain fantasy. You know, like the fantasy that I'm a good person or something like that. You know what I mean?
Let's just take that I feel a certain good image about myself. Okay? Now, but if I do not do justice, then I'm only going to satisfy my personal needs. If I only satisfy my personal needs, then what happens is that I find that it's not satisfying and I have to do more. Like, for instance, that's the way you get addicted. You have, a person has a desire for money. So the thing is that the beginning, when you first start out, you don't need too much money. But then the desire for money takes over, and whatever you have is not enough. So you keep going more and more and more. So the thing is, as you satisfy yourself, you see what you have is not enough. So you always need more. A person could be a millionaire, so then he wants to have hundreds of millions. And then, of course, he wants a billion. It's never enough. He becomes addicted to constantly going more and more. But however, if I have control, which means that I cannot carry it out, so then I fantasize about what it would be like, but since I'm not satisfying it, so I stay at that position, and I do not destroy my life, because there is a benefit. I mean, don't underestimate the benefit, because the other way you'll be totally destroyed. While this way you have a fantasy that's not being satisfied, but at least you will not get worse than you are now, and you could always enjoy the fantasy of what it would be like if you did have it. Okay? This ego satisfaction that you have for justice will also be for keeping halacha. Okay? It's the same if you do halacha for the ego satisfaction, so therefore what will happen is you will stay to halacha, but however, The satisfaction is in fantasy, okay? Not in reality, but the satisfaction is in fantasy. But at least you're not being destroyed. That's the first benefit. The second benefit is that if you move up to higher levels of justice or your relationship to halacha, so then you don't have to change your actions, just your motive, but you keep the same actions. If you have to start doing new actions, then that's like a very hard job. That's double, you see. So the thing is, that's a benefit in the sense that that once you have it, you don't have to change. All what changes is the motive. But if you have to change your actions, that's very, very difficult. That's a very hard thing to do. So the thing is, there's two benefits. One is there's a certain satisfaction, which will a fantasy satisfaction that will not destroy you, okay? And it protects you from being destroyed by giving into your desires. And two is, since you're living the life, then all you have to do is change the motives. In other words, if you do not carry out justice or do not live halacha, so then you carry out all your desires. Now, once you carry out the desires, it does not satisfy the fantasy. You understand? So when it doesn't satisfy the fantasy, so you have to keep going further and further and further till it actually destroys you. You understand? So you keep going further and you're never really satisfied and it harms you. But if you do not have an outlet for this, for your fantasies, so then you fantasize what it would be like, and you enjoy that fantasy, what it would be like, but you don't harm yourself in the sense that you don't destroy yourself, but you have the fantasy satisfaction, and that's the way you live for the rest of your life.
I think I'm confused.
It's the same fantasy. I have a fantasy for pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, certain pleasures. Okay, if I satisfy, if I act out the pleasure,
mm-hmm.
It never satisfies the fantasy, because the fantasy means it's not in reality. It's not a realistic pleasure.
Okay.
So it's never really being satisfied.
Okay.
So therefore, I keep going further to try to satisfy it. And my whole life is just being going worse and worse and worse until I'm destroyed. But the thing is, if I am controlled either by justice or by halacha, So then I can't carry out my fantasies. If I can't carry out my fantasies, so I just imagine what it, so I enjoy the fantasy only in my mind. But since I'm not carrying it out, so therefore I do not go further, and I enjoy the fantasy, and I don't destroy myself.
Okay.
The next stage is where I recognize my selfishness, and I say, why don't I become intelligently selfish? So I'll deal with myself. When I deal with myself, I start thinking intelligent selfishness means that I evaluate my desires. I have two immediate desires, pleasure and pain, and the desire for pleasure and avoidance of pain. And I have future pleasure and pain. So the chacham, or the intelligent person, evaluates the immediate pleasure of pain or the future pleasure of pain, and that's the way he makes decisions. Now he'll keep the justice because of the ego satisfaction, because of what we said before, that there are still benefits in it. Okay, now. But when he does this selfishness and he evaluates it, so he is better and moving into an area different than the ego, what the ego is lacking. And that is, he is dealing with chachma, okay? So he's dealing with reality, okay? And from the reality, a person can develop further. If you're stuck in the fantasy and the ego satisfaction, so then you're stuck at that level, there's no development. But in this, you're starting to attach to reality, and once you start attaching to reality, there's different levels of attaching to reality, and so therefore you can develop. So that is the first step into reality. First step into reality is to evaluate your personal needs, and that is pleasure and avoidance of pain, and the future pleasure and pain, so that you measure if it's worth it now or in the future. Like if you evaluate smoking, it might be immediate pleasure, but future pain, which is would not be worth it. While surgery might be immediate pain, but might save your life, so therefore you need it in the future. Okay? So therefore, that is the first step towards reality. Now, when you when you're on this level of selfishness, you'll notice that what affects your thinking and makes you make mistakes about evaluating is your attachment to or over-attachment to the physical. And so therefore, when you're over-attached to the physical, so it's hard to... In other words, if you're attached to something right now, you're experiencing it right now, but the future you're not experiencing, it's only in your mind. Your mind has to be stronger than the experience. That's why we call you a chacham, okay? And you realize that your attachment to the physical is harming you. So what you have to do is give up the physical. So what you do is give up the physical by doing for others. Like, let's say you give charity. So before you, I mean, you might give charity because of the first reason of the fantasy. But however, now you give charity because the thing is, the motive for charity changes to charity because I want to give up of the physical, or I'll give up of my time. So my time, I to give up my time for others. So the thing is, I have to give up of the physical so that I recognize that the physical is not important, because if it's the over-attachment that makes me make mistakes in my decisions. So therefore, that is the first step where justice is in line with reality, but it's only my selfish interest that it's in line with. Now, when I start doing justice, I start noticing that people might respond. I do actions for them, and they're nice to me. You understand? And I also see when the system in general is working well, then it works well for me. So either through the system working well, it's beneficial for me, or where people appreciate what I do and they're willing to do for me, so then that works well for me. So then it's a further step away from the self, where I start seeing a broader picture of the system, but I relate to the system via my selfish benefits. But I see the total system, I see a big system, so it opened my mind to working within the system and see the benefit of living within the system. Okay? That ends the level of selfishness. That would also end the level of Mishle, where I live. If you want to know the ultimate of Mishle, that is the Eishes Chayil, or the Woman of Valor, which is in the last chapter. It starts with chapter 31, verse 10. And there, she's a very, very practical woman, and she does acts of kindness because that's part of justice. acts of kindness is a part of justice, so I do acts of kindness. But that ends the selfish part of the human. The next stage is where I do actions based on my mind. In other words, when I see something philosophically right, where I prove something philosophically correct, then I must live by my mind. Okay? It's not a selfishness, but it's based, I live based on my philosophy. Okay? Okay, and there's two stages of the level of justice insofar as philosophy is concerned. The first level is Plato's level, which is, Plato's level is that he recognizes, see, his definition, first, he has to have a definition of the soul. That's why it's philosophy, because you're defining the human being. And his definition of the soul is logic. Okay? That all logic, there's a different argument or machlokas, whether it includes only logic, the soul, or whether it includes ideas of mathematics too. Certain, the basic principles of the logic of math. So, but that's a machlokas, that's not our concern. But the thing is that the, so he holds, since part of logic is equality, so therefore if I live an unjust life and I say that I am better than you, okay, so then I am corrupting the soul. I'm not living according to logic. So I'll come to, I'll live incorrectly completely. You see? So it'll affect my whole life. But the decision to make this is based on the, on my philosophical view of the human soul, and it's so real to me that I realize that being unjust would be a corruption of the soul. I was just a side point on a personal level. Shmuley always held that justice is a part of the soul. So, but it was his intuition that it was part of the soul. So I one time told him about Plato's idea of how it's part of the soul. So he couldn't accept it. He didn't accept it right away. He came back to me a while later and he says, yeah, that could work. That could work, you know, that Plato's idea could work. But I just wanted to say, like intuitively, you might not know Plato's idea, but there's a certain sense. There's a certain sense you could be on Plato's level based on a sense of reality. You just sense that a part of you, that it has to be, that justice is just a part of you. And I think that's where Shmuley was at. Anyway, the last time I spoke to him about the subject, he might have developed since then. But the thing is, that's where Shmuley was at that time that I spoke to him. Okay. Then there's the Torah view, and then Psalms. It says, Ohave Hashem Sinara, he who loves God hates evil. Okay? So based on your knowledge of God, in other words, the book of Tehillim is two subjects basically. God's hashgacha pratis is personal supervision, and two is it talks a lot about the laws of nature. There's whole chapters that just deal with the laws of nature. So the thing is, when you start seeing the laws of nature, and you start seeing God's hashgacha pratis, his personal supervision, his system of good and evil, you see, of how he relates to us based on good and evil, so then you start realizing that it's God's will that he want, if you want to carry out God's will, then you want to carry out justice based on God. Okay? Now, once you do it on that level, that's a totally different level than, even though it's a philosophical level like Plato, it's a different level than Plato, because Plato is still involved with the self. There's a certain amount of involvement with the self, while this is totally dealing totally with reality and totally out of the self, so therefore you do justice because of the will of God. There is a story like this. There was a man that learned by Reb Chaim Brisk. Reb Chaim Brisk was a person he created the whole system. He didn't create it. He discovered the system of definition and how it worked. You understand? A lot of it, practically all schools have taken on. He opened up a whole new way of looking at things. Anyway, there was somebody that went to that yeshiva, his yeshiva, and learned under him. Then he left, and he went to study physics by Einstein. Okay? And he one time came back to visit the yeshiva, and the guys asked him, what is the difference between Einstein and Reb Chaim insofar, you know, as their personality is concerned? So he says that Einstein is a just person, but there's no comparison to Reb Chaim. Like, his justice is way, way beyond, like a total different ballpark. Okay? The difference is that Einstein held from the from Plato's, you know what I mean? Like, he saw it part of the soul. He saw that there's an important, he saw that justice is an important thing. He sensed it. I don't know if he knew about Plato or not, but he definitely had to sense that idea. But Reb Chaim, who understood it via God, then through halacha and through God, he saw God's will. That God's will is to do justice, you see, that his whole life he was able to put his life. You also find it by the Rambam. The Rambam gave up his life. Yeah, I just want to tell you, this week we read about the red heifer. There's a certain sacrifice. They burn a red heifer. It has to be totally red. They burn it, and they make a concoction. They mix the ash with it, and they sprinkle it on a person that has the lowest level of tumah. Tumah is impurity. Okay, the lowest level is where you got in contact with a dead person. Okay. So what happens is that another Kohen, so he does acts of purity, the Kohen that became pure, then another Kohen takes this water that's mixed with the ash of the red heifer and sprinkles it on this person. That makes that person tahor or pure, but the person that did it becomes tameh. He becomes impure. A certain level, not a very high level, but a level of impurity. So philosophically, this becomes halacha. We know the halachas and we do the halachos. But philosophically, it becomes like total contradictory that you are making another person pure and you are become impure. You understand? So the question is, how could that happen? So I want to say the possibility of how it happens is like by the Rambam or Reb Chaim. You see, they recognize this world, this idea of justice via God. You see, so therefore, because of that, they did for the people to the point where the Rambam did not have time to learn during the week. I mean, this is the famous Rambam, the most abstract philosophers. He gave up on his learning, which we usually think that is the way to get close to God through learning, and which is true. But learning of Torah and learning of God leads to the level where you want to do God's will. And God's will is to help other people and to do justice. So therefore, when he took the... So therefore he didn't have time to learn. He was involved in justice all day. And two is, he only had time to eat once a day. He didn't even take care of his physical self. He could only eat once a day. The only time he had a little relaxation that he could learn a little bit was on Shabbos. Okay? So the thing is that he helps others at his own expense, which it could be, I'm not saying this is the reason, but it could be that that's what the red heifer, the philosophy of the red heifer is that the highest level of doing for others is the will of God when people are in need, and so therefore you do it and you give up of your own life. Okay? Have to understand that to reach that level is a real understanding. It's not just that I know this, but it has to become part of my personality. See, each stage, the difficulty is I have the knowledge, but then the knowledge has to become part of my personality, that's the way I experience it now. It has to be real to me. You see? So to be real to you, this level is that knowledge of the universe, of understanding God's universe, and to understand God's hashgacha pratis, his personal supervision, that it's based totally on good and evil. You understand? And so it's a different system than the laws of nature. So the thing is that that has to be so real to you that then when you do justice, then you do it even if you give up your own personal needs, physical needs and spiritual needs, and that becomes because you do the will of God. In other words, in the Mishlei level, I relate to good and evil by consequences. You understand? I just look at the logical system. What is the benefit for me and what is the harm to me? So that's all I look at. Good and evil is only like any other selfish act. Like, should I play this game or should I do something else in the time? And I evaluate what's more important. You understand? Justice is just a part of that evaluation. So I'm evaluating just consequences, what happens naturally by doing certain things, right?
Right.
All right. But when I reach the level of God, then I go back to good and evil, but good and evil is because God, it's God's will that I hate evil and love justice. So it becomes God's will, it's because of God's will that I do it. Not for my benefit, but it's only because that became my philosophy of life. My mind tells me that is the correct way of living. And so therefore I live that way. In other words, I hate evil. In other words, when I hate evil on the first level, on the ego level, then it's only because of, you know, hatred on the ego level is usually a cover-up of your own personality. So it's a fake-out. So you're really trying to cover up certain desires that you have, so you hate somebody that is evil. So it's really a certain fake out. So what you have to do is go through a process of undoing it by looking at life for consequences. You understand? Benefit and harm. Okay? But then when I get back to the philosophy of God, I see it's God's will that I hate evil. Then I go back to good and evil, but it's via my relationship to God and not my personal relationship that I'm against evil. So it's a different level, it's a totally different view of good and evil.
Right.
In other words, on that level, let's say when I do halacha, I'm accepting God's will. It's God's will that I keep halacha. Okay? So it's the same thing. I keep justice because it's God's will. I'm doing justice because it's God's will. It comes via my knowledge and understanding and relationship to God. You also notice a new word in Tillim. It's called chassid. You do not find that in Mishlei. In Mishlei you find the term chesed, that you do acts of kindness. But a chassid, that you are a person of kindness, that you first find in Tillim. And the reason is because kindness is only on the Mishlei level. Kindness is like part of justice, is that I do for you for what I could do. Okay? Now, but ultimate kindness is like this. Let's say I understand, I'm able to read your nature, and I understand your nature. Then I do something, even if you don't know about it, but I know I'm dealing, or I say something, because I'm speaking or acting towards that part of you that you're not even aware of. So therefore you don't even know that I'm benefiting you. In fact, you might even get upset with me. But the fact is that I know that it's benefiting you, so I do it. You understand? So since there is no trade, there's no benefit to me, so therefore I cannot do it on the Mishlei level. I can only do it on the Tehillim level, on the level of Psalms, okay? So therefore, you become a chassid where I could do kindness, even though I'm not getting anything out of it, only when I reach the level of the Plato level. The Plato level is I do for you, even though it's not a benefit to me, even though it harms me. You see that Plato gave up his life for justice. You understand? So the thing is that you see that you should, that level of a chassid, a person of kindness, where your nature is kindness, where you could do kindness for no benefit to yourself, that's only when you reach the philosophical level can you do that type of kindness that you get the title chassid. But until in Mishlei you do acts of kindness, but it's only because you can get something back. That's why you do an act of kindness. It's the same thing as doing acts of justice. It's a benefit to the self. But anyway, just a quick review of the whole picture, and that is this. The first level is your fantasy. If you keep justice, your fantasy won't destroy you. Okay? And if you keep justice, it'll help you. You won't have to change your acts on the other level. On the selfish level, it's an evaluation. So the benefit is that you're in line with reality, and you're acting and you're training your mind to be a chacham, to be a thinker, so that your mind can make the, so that, in other words, as you develop your mind in this level, you're preparing yourself to reach the philosophical level, where the mind becomes so real that when you have a philosophy that you're able to do that, that you're able to reach the philosophical level. And there's two levels on the philosophical level, but the highest level of the philosophical level is Ohavei Hashem Sinura, those that love God, hate evil. It's via your knowledge of God.